from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast that believes in human rights and that Black Lives Matter. And the podcast is trying to improve and to make people feel seen and welcome. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And this is a repeat episode from a little while back. You'll be hearing more about that at the top of the show. But yeah, let's keep it going. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and I actually need you to listen to this message. If you're a regular listener, Sleep With Me. If you're new, don't worry about it. But we've got some big decisions with the show on the horizon, so I really, really need your help. If you are a regular listener to Sleep With Me, and it has changed how you sleep, you rely on the show, you like the show, it does something for you, or you feel good about the podcast, you like it, or you count on it, I really got to ask you to take action. So if Sleep With Me means something to you, or you like it, if you can afford to support the show directly, or you're willing to consider up giving up one takeout lunch a month to support Sleep With Me, try out a trial of Sleep With Me Plus and test out Sleep With Me Plus over the 7-day trial and just see what you think. But I think you'll find you'll be blown away, because there's so many different ways to listen to Sleep With Me and stuff like that. So if you think you can afford to support the show, please do that at Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And if it doesn't make a difference to you, like it's like I can move on to something else if you stop making the show, or you decide to put out way, way less episodes, or you change what you're doing, I totally am fine with that. That's fine. But if Sleep With Me really does make a difference for you, I mean, I love making the show. I don't like being direct, because I usually get way more not nice emails when I'm direct about stuff. But I don't want to put out a message like 3 months from now and be like, you know what, we're changing things up and we've made some hard decisions. I want you to be a part of this decision-making process, because it's really like the other time Sleep With Me's been in this place. It's just taken being direct and saying, hey, if you care about the show, I need you to think about doing something about it. So think about it. And yeah, it'll be cool. Like I trust that there's enough of you out there that get so much out of the show, because I've heard from you before. So yeah, check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, or take one of those other actions. And what do you say we get on with the show? All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz. Got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo. Modern management made simple. It's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the podcast I need you to hear because it's where I thank the listeners who supported the sponsors. That's the first part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. And I wanted to thank a Peppelman who put in oil for some Sunsoil CBD and Danny who got a UV clean from Homedics. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the sponsors. If you support a sponsor, tag them. Tag me in a social media post so they know their partnership with the show is valuable. And I can try to thank you on the Sleepy Supporter Zone like Danny and a Peppelman. The second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need, whether it's for your own self-care and mental health or to support the Black members of your community and our community here around the podcast. I'll have links to things you could support in the show notes. And the third part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is something I support, and I started this Waterwheel Foundation fundraiser originally just to support Waterwheel Foundation, but I've expanded it. If you go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/waterwheel, you'll find a link to a bunch of other organizations you could support in addition to Waterwheel Foundation. If you support any of them, let me know about it. Tag them, tag me in a social media post so that you build more awareness around their organization. And let's get this going and raise some money. And you can find all those things in the show notes of the podcast in your podcast app. And that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson.
Sounds like an earful.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. the Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. We're raising money for the Waterwheel Foundation. And Scooter might get a perm.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you can find me. And what do you say we get on with the show? Hey, everybody, it's Scooter here, and I just wanted to let you know that this is an old episode, about 3 or 4 years old, maybe, and it's a silly one that I've always had a special place in my heart. It also kind of lines up with the fundraiser we're doing. So this episode was recorded a while ago. Let's get out the show.
All right, hey, you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do it a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. And what I'm going to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever it is that's keeping you awake, whether it's thinking or feeling or sensing or noise, whatever it is. The safe place is a place where you can either lay that stuff down before you enter in, or ideally I'll distract you from that. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my voice across the deep dark night. I'm going to try to use lulling, soothing tones, pointless meanders, slow going. I don't know if I've ever used that before, but tonight I may use that slow going. It'll be slow going here, Sleep With Me. Essence of molasses. I've never used that, but tonight I might use essence of molasses. The spirit of molasses. I think that was a ship that that ship didn't sink. It just took forever. Doom, a little molasses joke there. Took forever to get there. But what I'm going to use all those techniques for is to take your mind off of stuff, distract you, so that either I can escort you across the threshold from wake to sleep, or I can distract you as you float across, ideally waking into the waiting arms of Morpheus, or just a pillow, giant, which I think Morpheus is covered in pillows in this. This particular Morpheus, not the other famous Morpheuses. This is the Morpheus for just the pillow. Morpheus, the pillow god, the god of pillows. That's the main. It's a gender neutral Morpheus. Just so everybody knows, but also hypoallergenic. This is what I said. Can you send me some talking points for Morpheus? Because I said, can you have your people get in touch with my people? And they said, this is a bank. And I said, right. I said, I need to get a hold. I said, I thought this was, and they said, no, this is Michigan. I said, oh, I'm trying to reach Morpheus, not Michigan. And I said, whoopsie. I said, do you have a number for Morpheus? And they said, from the movie? No. I said, no. I said, movie? No. I'm trying to reach the god of sleep. I think it's the god of sleep. I didn't do my research, clearly, because I'm calling you. I said, do you have any, is your bank sleep friendly? And they said, it's actually, no one comes to the bank barely, so it's pretty dull here. And I said, man, could I speak to your manager? Could I do an on-location episode there? And they said, no, we're already, they said, no, you're not allowed here. And I said, well, okay, anyway, back to my problems. Do you have a number for Morpheus? Not the Morpheus from the movies, the real Morpheus, the god of pillows, the god of snuggling in. You know, it could be with another person, but you know, when you get your face in there, you bury it in and you go, you know, you with your cheek. You know, stuff that cats do. That's what Morpheus is the god of, Morpheus is not the god and goddess. I wish there was a word that covered god and goddess. You know, doesn't that bother you? Oh, you've got to get back. You have a customer. I thought you said it wasn't busy. Don't most people just take pictures of their checks? Well, anyway, do believe it or not, I'm sorry to call your bank. Believe it or not, I'm recording the opening of a podcast. So, I've got customers too, a lot of them, and they're wondering what I'm talking about. Could you put me on the phone with your customer first? I think that would be pretty good material. Well, hello, ma'am. Yes, I'm here. Did you get a toaster when you opened your account at the bank? You did. That's good. I was wondering, are you familiar with Morpheus? What am I saying? Morpheus. Are you familiar with Morpheus? Yes, the god of sleep. Oh, are you a big fan of Bullfinch? Because I plan on reading Bullfinch. You are. You used to teach mythology. Excellent. I guess I've reached the right person. Do you have a contact number for Morpheus? I believe it or not, I don't have a way to get in touch with Morpheus. And that's what I do. This is, ma'am, you're going to laugh yourself to sleep tonight. But, my job is to escort people into the arms of Morpheus, and I don't even have a way to reach Morpheus. Isn't that wild? What? If Morpheus wants to talk to me, they will get a hold of me. Well, I'm glad you used a proper pronoun, at least, ma'am. Clearly, you're familiar with as Morpheus as I am. Oh, you have a PhD in Bullfinch? Well, that's no bull, ma'am, if you don't mind me saying so. Oh, boy. If you do hear from Morpheus, if you could just say, Morpheus, hey, reach out to Scoot. No smoting either. Please, I prefer not to be smoted, especially by a pillow god. Or, you know, could we do like a pillow being? I don't want to be smoted, you know, because I would rather always have positive memories of pillows, you know, and not be in some afterlife where I'm like, oh, he's the one covered in pillows. That's Scooter, crossed Morpheus. Okay, thanks, ma'am. I'll let you get back. Are you making a deposit or withdrawal? You know, it's none of my business. Of course it's not. Thank you, ma'am. Thanks. No, you don't have to put me on with the teller. Because I'm in the middle of a podcast intro. It's the craziest thing I know. Could you just ask the teller, I'm having a problem with my toaster oven and I don't want another toaster. Okay, no, bye. Sorry, folks, I'm back. If you're new to the podcast, oh boy, that is what happens here. So that's the old take. Here's a little proposal. Were you thinking about all the stuff that normally keeps you awake while I had that little bank transaction? Well, that's good. Wait, I'm still on the phone with the bank teller. Did I put you to sleep? Oh boy. Okay. Well, I thought I had broken away from your call. The call is coming from within my brain. Oh boy. Okay, I better get back to my audience then. Excuse me, sorry about that. That was my brain. Nothing to worry about. Just my, you know. So if you're new here, the podcast is a little bit different, a little bit goofy, but made to take your mind off stuff so that you can fall asleep. So clearly, you don't need to take me seriously. You're under no pressure to fall asleep, but if you do, you know, you can stop listening whenever you feel like it. I'll be here the whole time. Tonight I'll be here over an hour. So if you're having trouble sleeping or you just can't sleep and you want a companion in the deep dark night, that's what I'm here for, to tell you a bedtime story. So I'm going to use lulling, soothing. As you've seen, I'm going to use to get distracted. I'm going to indulge in those distractions. Talking to bank tellers, that's a great way to put people to sleep. Talking to bank customers. You know, just curious. You know, I'll be curious about the misfires of my brain. But with the whole purpose, whatever, you know, you may be a polytheist. You know, you may be into polytheism when it comes to your pillow god and goddesses. Or you may just have one. Whatever it is, I'd love to help you fall asleep. Because I've been there. And I know what it's like not to be able to fall asleep. So that's it. I'm trying to think of what else clearly there's not much to cover here. You don't need to take me seriously. And I'm glad you're here. I realize it might have taken some skepticism to overcome and say, well, let me check this podcast out. Let me give this a shot. And I appreciate that. And I hope I can earn your trust. This podcast doesn't work for everybody. You know, I hope it works for you because I'm glad you're here. And I really hope and I really yearn to help you fall asleep. So thank you so much for stopping by.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with the receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody.
Hey, everybody. It's a trending Tuesday here, and I don't think we could officially call this Broadway week on Sleep With Me podcast, but it kind of, I've got Broadway on the mind. Or I'm in New York, specifically Broadway, a nostalgia state of mind. And there's probably going to be another episode related to this, but the main reason, or where it started, was I started thinking a lot about the song Nothing from A Chorus Line due to an interaction on Twitter Maggie and I were talking about feelings, and that song gives me the chills in a good way. And then I was thinking about dissecting that episode, so then I was like, okay. It was, and then I listened to Nothing, the 2006 edition, Natalie Cortez, about 9,000 times, maybe. And you say, well, it's not possible. I said, well, I'd say stopped. I called the super person. I said, stop spinning the earth, man. I got some listening to do. So I was in a Broadway state of mind, and you know, when you do that, so then I started thinking of other Broadway stuff. And, you know, then when you're an overthinker and over daydream, you start to daydream and you start to think you're about regrets. And when I go down that road, it becomes what this episode will be, a My Life with a Perm episode. So this is going to take also multiple layers of setting up. If you're new, we don't do these My Life with a Perm episodes very much. So I'll set that up. Then I'll set up my relationship with the Broadway. But so My Life with a Perm, I'll try to do as quick as I can. But I don't have human hair on my head. And I can hear people, you know, knee-jerking or their partners. Wait, did he just say he doesn't have hair on his head, so he's bald? No, I have hair. I have hair. I don't have human hair on my head. I have something... the easiest way to refer to it is I have fur. Something much more similar to animal fur than human hair on my head. Yes, and I was born that way. And once you start to notice fur, and you go out in the world, you'll see other people, out there on the hair margins of society. I've never seen Eddie Snowden up close, but I believe he also has fur. John Ronson, I think he has hair, but he has a fur-like hair. There's a couple other people that recently I talked about, they said, well, they might have fur. But what that means, they say, okay, you're blowing my mind. And I said, well, just try having your mind encased in fur instead of hair. Doesn't do well for it doesn't damage your self-esteem. It just, it shortens it. They say, okay. Most people's self-esteem is in a 0 to 100 level. You have fur, so you're going to be graded on a curve. What I say fur? Well, that's what my dad told me. He said, you have fur. But it's extremely straight, no natural part at all. My hair just grows out in all directions from its follicle. Extremely thin, very, very thin. And you'd say, is it thinning? And I'd say, I don't know, because they say I've always had this, possibly, but I'm not sure. You'd say it's fine. My hair has no body, it's bodiless. And it can't be styled. It doesn't look like, so I found one particular hair product that will somewhat control my hair. It just, but I've given, you know, I've given up on style within the quotes, you know, like for my hair. It's just not a thing that's going to happen. So it's best to, you know, just keep a buzz going. Probably why I kept a buzz going for whatever, 26 years. But just get my hair buzzed, and then, but also I hate haircuts. I mean, who could be surprised about that? It, you know, involves people touching me. I don't like that. And, you know, it always ended in disaster. But I had this one fateful meeting, and I think about how the universe can bend or there's alternate realities. And I know there's one alternate reality that started long ago when I was just in middle school. And what I believe was someone at the time that was incredibly confused to their brilliance, which was, and I'll say their name because they're, I guess they're kind of a public figure, Frank Zizzo, a barber in Syracuse, New York, that me and my friends went to. And Frank, at the time, I don't know if his hair was naturally curly or he had a perm. I saw a recent picture of him and I said, I think he had a perm at the time. But he used to cut my hair and he felt bad for me because it wasn't, you know, his job was just to cut it. It wasn't, he's a barber, not a styler, you know, but he, even then he knew that once hair started growing on other parts of my body, I was going to be in for it because they say with hair like this on your head, it's going to, you know, it's going to cut down on your chances of finding a mate. Let's just put it that easy. And so Frank said to me one time, he said, why don't you grow your hair out and we'll give you a perm? And then it won't be the, he goes, I can't believe how straight this is. He gave you a nice little curl. I mean, he said it like a nice little curl or something like that. But let's see. So, but I said, no. You know, I have enough problems. The last thing I need is a perm. And I know it'll be super tight and it'll probably turn green because my friends will throw me in a pool. So, I said no, that was the call of adventure. And I said, no, that's not the adventure I'm looking for. I'd rather just lie, like, I'll just have to deal with this. Plus, the whole idea is totally ridiculous. You're going to give me a freaking perm. Nowadays you do that, you get on the news, say it would become a thing. You know, but Frank was just trying to help me in his own way, because he had a perm. I'm sure he was like flying high. You know, he had the barbershop at the mall. You know, you could go get the best pizza in Syracuse was at this mall. I think at the time it was Fairmount Fair Mall, maybe Camillus Mall. It doesn't really matter because that's where Pavone's Pizza was. The only place you could get New York style pizza by the slice in Syracuse that I was aware of. And, you know, this was was this the 80s or the 90s? On the cusp, I think. So where better to work than a mall? It was like being in a John Hughes movie. I mean, except he was too old, you know, it would have been creepy, but he could have been, you know, an extra. But I always think about, geez, what would have happened? How would my life be different if I said, yes, let's get a perm? And at some point in some other universe, little Andy, it did get a perm, and his life was much different than mine. And so every once in a while, one of these episodes, I like to revisit what Andy's life is like, the Andy with the perm, hence my life with the perm. So that's setup number one. Now, setup number two is I went to university, school, college in New York City, in the Bronx, the Boogie Down, a borough of the city so nice they named it twice, New York, New York, one hell of a town. And it was, and it was a place I loved. And once a year, my parents would come visit me, and I believe it was in January. And every year, we would go to a Broadway show. And even then, I was a bit like I am now. Like, I tended to stay to the Bronx, and I didn't, you know, get into Manhattan as much as I probably should have to enjoy. I mean, you did get to go to some student shows where you'd get really cheap tickets to Broadway shows. But I guess, like you say, geez, Andy with the perm probably went to a Broadway show every week, because this was like the Blue Man Group. This was when they were off Broadway, when I was living in New York. I mean, the Wetlands, the CBGBs, all these places, this was the heyday. And meanwhile, I was just like pulling tubes in my room, lying low. But that's not the important part. The important part is that, so every year we would go to a Broadway show. In one year, and I think this was, again, at the height of the fame of Les Mis, we went to see Les Mis. And Les Mis was this huge, I mean, I don't think, and I guess this was, like, I don't think Les Mis was as big as Hamilton. Because I think the only thing that was even close to as big as Hamilton was the Book of Mormon, maybe. And I don't know, I'm not a Broadway expert. But it was pretty big. It was pretty big, Les Mis. And, you know, Jean Valjean and The Prisoner 1, 2, 3, 4, 89. And the rest of the characters, who's, you know, the Prime Minister Pete Nice, I think he was in it. And I don't know if Horatio Hornblower, but there was, you know, the Coquette, or I don't even know, Colette, I guess I haven't listened to it in a while. But it was a beautiful, beautiful musical. And we just happened, not only did we get to go to Les Mis, but one of my dad's friends, and I barely ever had any celebrity interactions in my whole life. So this was a big time one, was one of my dad's friends was dating the innkeeper's wife, and she was the show stealer. Like, her number was the one that was, like, the one everybody, when you left the show, she was like, she wasn't the star, she stole the show in the best way possible. When you go to a Broadway show, you say, oh, you know, she really stole the show. It was awesome. And then the innkeeper's wife came, and I hope that's what it was, the innkeeper's wife. But my dad's friend happened to be dating her. And I mean, she, like, literally, people fell out of their seats. Her performance is that good. So he had arranged, he was not with us, but he had arranged that we would meet her after the show and get a tour behind the scenes of the Les Mis. I mean, can you imagine going to meet Lynn, back in, you know, Lynn's, like, in Hamilton, like, and I've not seen Hamilton, but, you know, one day I will, like, 27, 20, 28, but anyway, it's not important, because I don't live in New York, and Lynn's gone, so, I'm sure, like I'd love to see it, anybody, but let's see. So we were going to get to go backstage. That was my point. Another cockamamie theory I have. Now, this is just a theory based on, so I was like 20 years old, maybe 19 years old when I saw Les Mis. But I'm pretty sure, and this is 100% circumstantial, so not sure at all, that the innkeeper's wife at the time is a woman that wrote the music for Frozen, but that's not based on, it's zero facts about that. That's just a guess. And I don't even know. I think I tried to check on the internet one time and I couldn't confirm. It couldn't, like, I used the internet, but I couldn't confirm or deny it. So if that is the case, you know, I'm extremely proud of this actress, and you could see it then that she was just super brilliant. But so we went outside the stage door, just like, you know, adoring fans do. And who, I mean, like, other, I don't know if there's anybody else waiting to meet, but it was like, who are you? We're meeting the innkeeper's wife, you know, so people were falling, you know, they said, you got to be kidding me. And she brought us backstage, and we got a tour of, you know, the backstage. And if you've been backstage at Broadway, I guess the movie Birdman kind of shows what it's like a little bit. It's not glamorous, but it's so cool. Actually, Game of Thrones did a pretty accurate job too of just being like, you know, it's a workplace behind the stage. It's a workplace, and, you know, New York real estate is expensive, so most of the real estate is spent in the front of the house. You know, everything else, you know, you got to be adaptable. But I mean, to talk about a gracious act, here's someone that, in Broadway terms, I mean, she was the Belle of Broadway. And she took the time to show me and my parents, and I think maybe a couple other people around. And then she said to me, she took me aside and she said, would you like to meet Coquette or Colette? I don't know. The action, and I'd fallen in love with her, I think, during the, like, both the innkeeper's wife and Colette. I don't know, because I said, well, I'm trying to remember if the actress was an adult. I can't picture the ages, you know. Okay, so I just looked it up. So it's Cosette, not Colette or whatever. I think I was in love with a Colette once in my life, too. Pretty sure. I'd like to know when that was. Maybe twice. But so Cosette, I think there was a 20-something version of Cosette. That was who she was like, do you want to meet Cosette? You know, you're the same age. And she was like, I don't think she was trying to fix me up because I didn't, you know. But I always think, you know, what if I had become friends with Cosette or, you know, the actress playing Cosette and this woman? But, you know, I was very quiet and shut down and nervous. So I guess I thought, like, if we just, you know, take a moment here. And I thought it would invoke the spirit of Carole King, you know, now that she has a Broadway musical based on her life, you know, to help me with music. So as, you know, I check and communicate with Carole King across the transverses, you know, we're staying outside. Probably the New Amsterdam Theater. I don't know if that's actually where I was playing, but that's, let's just say, because that sounds like a nice theater. And we feel the music that Carole King is broadcasting across, you know, the different realities of the universe. It's a Piano Sonata 13, you know, from Mozart. And as it's playing, it's coming out of the stage door. And as it opens up, we see the actress who's played the innkeeper's wife there. My dad grins and he says, you know, I think we're here for my friend. I think his name, I don't know. And he said, oh, she says, oh, well, come on in. And then she meets my mom, and my dad's grinning from ear to ear, excited, ready to, you know, he's cracking jokes. And my mom is grinning, you know, a little bit like me, you know, out of both anticipation and awkwardness. And then I stand just on the edge of the shadows, half bathed in the lights of the marquee, and half in the darkness of the backstage of Broadway. And then she says, well, who is this? And I step into the light, curly locks flowing off my head, as this has been my life with the perm. And I say, oh, Mozart, that sounds great. I'm Andrew. Nice to meet you. Your performance was beyond mesmerizing. It was enthralling. And I know this must happen to you all the time since my dad's friend is dating you. I fell in love with you at the time. And I still can feel your performance within me. And she says, well, thank you, thank you. And he says, I'm sure the hours and hours and hours of time you've spent, I hope you get to enjoy it. And she says, well, I'm exhausted, but, you know, thank you so much. And thank you so much for coming. And I say, you are so gracious. We really appreciate you giving us this time. And she says, well, don't you want to see the, she says, why don't we go on the stage? And I said, well, I used to tap dance. Would I be able to tap dance on the Les Mis stage? And then she says, well, only if you can shuffle ball step and shuffle off to Buffalo. And I say, that's about all I can. I can heel toe as well. And so we have a chuckle, a laugh, if you will. And, you know, this is the late 80s, early 90s. Oh, no, it's mid-90s, actually. I guess just I am mixed up with time. And Tommy's on Broadway. And I say, I feel like I can hear, see me, hear me, feel me, you know, leaking through the walls. And she says, you can, actually. That is from Tommy. And I say, you know, this is going to sound like lunacy because I just saw Tommy. And it was great, but not the same as this, your show. Your show's life-changing. You know, I don't sing and I barely dance. And we're doing a shuffle ball step discussion. and she's watching me and then adjusting me. And I say, is the master of the house in? And she has a laugh. And I say, is that from me? But she said, you know, when I watched Tommy, I was picturing, I was imagining that Mike Myers was Tommy. And she laughed hysterically because she said, holy cow, I just saw it. And she goes, I'm friends with that actor. But in that wig, he does look like Mike Myers in that wig. And he said, well, thank goodness I'm not the only one. But during this performance of Les Mis, my attention was so overwhelmed. And I was there. And she says, well, thanks. She goes, you're a regular, and then I did a heel toe to do, like where I put my hand out. And then I pretended I was, then I did the one where I crossed my knees and put my elbow on my knee and then my fist on my chin, like I was my hand on my hip. And she laughed at that. And I said, thank you so much. And she said, well, let's go on the rest of the tour. And I said, she was like, I'd love to see the barrier. I said, how do they do that? And she said, that's the magic of Broadway, son. And I said, well, thank you for protecting me and she said, you seem a little nervous though. She goes, could you mind me asking about your hair? She goes, there's just something about it. She goes, it's like it's your hair. She goes, can I? And she said, and my parents were kind of talking and they were analyzing one of the tables. And my dad wanted to lift it up to see if it was made from balsa wood. And she said, go ahead. And she goes, go ahead and lift that table up, sir. And she said, over here, she goes, it feels like your hair is singing to me. And I said, you know, there's a curly haired woman named Carol King. And I said, this is going to sound crazy, but she broadcasts through my hair. And she said, I could see, she goes, I believe, she goes, I'm not here. She goes, and I said, well, it's not, I said, it's not perceptible to, it comes across in music, but, you know, music that stirs your soul. Not like the music of the night, but a bit, you know, not that different either. And she goes, is that a perm? And I said, listen to this. It's a permanent perm. And she said, this man, Frank Zizza, he called me one time because he made a choice. Went to his barber shop, the one full blue moon of the year. After dark, of course, that's when the moon, you know, the moon's blue. And I went into his shop. It was closed, but Frank was there. And as soon as they closed the door, clouds covered the moon. Lightning started, and, you know, Frank was wearing a lab coat, which is, you know, and I said, oh, no, is it a barber coat or a lab coat? He said, both. And I said, he put on some Roy Orbison Candyman, which, to be honest, creeped me out for a minute. But I said, I'm just here to get my hair permed. And he said, permanently permed. And he goes, you know, I've been waiting to meet you. And I said, sorry, I know you're trying to give us a tour of this Broadway show. I'll be getting through this backstory as quick as I can. But, you asked about my hair and I wanted to tell. And she goes, I'm enthralled. So he put on Candyman by Roy Orbison. And I said, you know, well, I want to see where, you know. And he said, don't worry, because I'm here to help you. This permanent perm is going to change everything. And I said, well, why? And he said, well, in another universe, you're gathering circumstantial evidence that a woman who appeared in the play, the musical Les Mis, is going to be the same person that writes the transcendent music of the Anna and Elsa thing, Frozen. And I said, I don't know what you're talking. I said, is that anything like the Little Mermaid? He said, like that, but better. And he goes, one day you'll know what Idina Menzel means. And at the time, I didn't know what it meant. I still don't, just because it's only 1998 or 90-something. you know, but then you put me in a chair and, you know, science and mysticism and barbary and smell, you know, the stupid smelly stuff that makes a hair curlers. They all came to get, you know, I can't talk much more about that night, but, you know, it wasn't just my hair that got curled. It was, you know, my toes were curled, but not in the, you know, toe curling way. But my, you know, it also curled the DNA within my follicles. So my hair is, you know, sperm is permanent. So it is my hair. And I can do this thing. It's called, I call it curl bounce. See that when I raise it. And she said, it's hypnotic. And I didn't tell her about the, but I said, but, I just wanted to let you know I believe in you. So whatever your dream is, you know, don't, you know, in those moments, don't give up on it. Whether it's here on Broadway or somewhere else, or you have some dream that has nothing to do with this, you know, keep at it, you know, come at it from different angles, you know, change it around. And she said, are you nervous about meeting Cosette, the actress that plays Cosette, or something else? And I said, I'm going to meet the actress that plays Cosette. There was a silence in the room. And he said, I thought I was just here to encourage you to follow your dreams. And I said, yeah, I do have a crush on Cosette from the musical, but usually I don't meet the, you know, I said, this could be breaking, you know, this could be breaking the rules. And she said, I'm sorry, I couldn't. She goes, yeah, I was just watching your curls. She goes, it's like watching something under the sea, like seagrass or kelp or something waving. She goes, do you want to meet Cosette or not? And I said, well, I guess I'm here. I said, is everything okay with the actress that plays Cosette? And she goes, I think you're like a bridge over troubled waters. And I said, is there trouble here in the backstage of, and then I noticed my parents had left with I said, I think my parents left with that table. And she said, they have. She goes, they did. She goes, actually, we were selling some props and they bought that and left you here. And I said, left backstage at Les Mis, and there's trouble, you say, because I said, these curls carry the power of Carol King. And I guess I'm on a dual mission. I said, do you believe in yourself? And she said, I do. And I said, well, in the moments when doubt creeps in, remember that you said you believe in yourself. I believe in you as a witness to your performance, witness to your talents, witness to your hard work paying off on the stage, your ability to take the term stealing the show and throw it in the garbage, because they should have never called it a stealing the show, because the only person that would say you stole the show is a fool. You made the show better. You made the show wonderful. And she blushed. And she kissed me on the cheek and she said, I think it's time for you to get a tour of, and he said, well, I said, I don't know. He said, what's the trouble backstage here at Les Mis? And she said, are you familiar with the song Ohio by Neil Young? And I said, I am. He said, isn't Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young too? He said, I like the Massey Hall version. And I know Carole King does, so I know we're on the right level here. What does this have to do with Les Mis and Cosette? And she said, well, sometimes success doesn't bring the things we think it does. And I said, like certainty? I said, because yeah, I can hear you on that one. And she said, well, some people are looking for different things than what you're searching for. And I said, well, before I head on to this Cosette-related mission, I said, I get a few questions. I said, you're going to believe in yourself. And I said, if you're the person, you know, to craft the next, you know, 20 years from now, you know, you'll steal the show. I said, we need you. The world needs music. So you believe, and she said, I'll move forward one step at a time. One night at a time here on Broadway, sometimes two. You know, when we do, if she goes, if I do back to backs. And I said, well, okay. So I said, can you bump, do a curl bump for me? And she bumped my curls with her elbow. And she giggled and she said, I hope we cross paths again. And I said, so I should just wander around the backstage changing rooms of Les Mis. And she said, she goes, well, let's do, she goes, maybe you're right. She goes, because it's a bit labyrinthy back there. And I said, you, and I said, Ohio. And she said, yeah, you have to figure out why you're here. I said, okay. Should have been, and I said, okay. He said, his cassette, her ambitions are bigger than Broadway, aren't they? And I said, there's something going on here because I can't even remember anything about Les Mis other than Jean Valjean. And the, you know, the dude trying to go get him. And I said, was the cassette in love with like the general or something like that? Or he was in love with her? I never saw, you know, one day in the future, they'll make a movie about this that I haven't seen. And she said, you're nervous. And I said, okay. I'm trying to say yes. These girls help. I said, I think the whole thing about this, not only is this permanent, and, you know, imbued with the spirit of Carole King, and, you know, some sort of whatever powers are at the hands of Frank Zizzo, the barber. But I can also use it for self-soothing. I think that's the main benefit it has for me because I can do curl bump. I said, see how I hold the top of my hand and I just rub it on my curls every once in a while. That's another self-soothe. Then I do curl pet, which I guess it's so effective I don't do it obsessively. So I just do a couple of curl pets at the top of my head. I pet my own curls. And then she said, are you self-soothed enough to meet Cassette? And I said, maybe we shouldn't meet. Maybe we should cross paths. She said, you're wise in your curls. And I said, well, Carole King, we'll probably count that one towards Carole King or Frank or Pavone's Pizza. And as we headed backstage, I heard the sounds of Bob Marley. Is this love? Playing, and I didn't know if it was playing within my curls or across the room. But then I saw the presence that I had seen on stage earlier, that had captured my attention, had stirred my gut and stuff below my gut and my heart and my mind. It took me on an emotional journey. And now it was just cake. I said, oh boy, is this love that I'm feeling? But then I decided to pause and really listen to Carole King. Like these songs, they say she's playing the classics right now. Share the shelter of my single bed. And I blushed and then I looked back and the innkeeper's wife was gone. And I never caught her name. And then the actress that played Cassette said, I'm sorry, what? I said, I never caught her name. She said, who? She said, are you the one? And then I stepped into the light and she gasped and she giggled. And then she said, you're a bit like a Curly Warhol. And I said, do you mind if I take, I said, I'm taking a seat here. I said, I'm not a billionaire, so I don't have an eccentric haircut, but it's idiosyncratic, my hair. I said, but I'm here, you wouldn't believe this, but I think I'm here to help you. And she said, how so? And I said, I'm not sure. And she said, who sent you? And I said, well, that, it gets confusing, to be honest. I think a barber, of all people, sent me to help I said, well, I'm just here. I said, I'm just here to help. I was, you know, I watched the performance tonight and my mind was blown. And I don't want to make you uncomfortable, but, and I'm sure this happens to you a lot, and it's probably not even fair. But, you know, I was transported through all these emotions, so I may be projecting it on you in, you know, like some sort of, you know, romantic projection. I don't know what they call it. And she said to me, they called it starstruck. And I said, well, that's the right word. And she said, do you want to get a drink? And I said, sure. And because this was a different life, I said, you know, okay, I'll join you. And then we went down to the Playwright, which is a place I had been before. And we went into the Playwright and there were calls to her. And there was some hoots and, you know, I guess word had got it. There was a reverse Warhol call, you know, to me. And I did curl, you know, and because I was a different person, I was able to, I guess it was less, you know, when you have a permanent perm in the power that kind of brings, you know, the curls diffuse any self-consciousness. So I was, you know, even if people were laughing at me, you know, I was curl bumping. And he said, wait, was this the power of people like Andy Warhol? But I was just having fun. And she said, let's take a booth over here, Mr. Starstruck. And I said, it must be hard for you dealing with starstruck people all the time. And she said, you know, it has its charms. And she lit a cigarette, just like you'd expect someone in this situation to light a cigarette would, except for one pause, one momentary lapse in confidence. That let me know I was still on a mission, you know, and that get to broke my, you know, broke the striking of the stars in my eyes. And let me know, you know, to do a curl twirl, which is another form of like both focus, refocusing and self-soothing. And I said, well, you know, I'm here to help you. And I don't know if my star strikes are going to do that. And she said, are you familiar with a song, They Can't Take That Away From Me? And I said, the great Broadway song, they Can't Take That Away From Me? He said, I guess I am familiar with that much of it, that part. And she said, ever since I met you, it's been stuck in my head. And I said, is it the way I wear my hair or the way I sip my tea? And I took a sip of the tea that I had ordered. He said, I think you might be curl struck. And she said, I might be. And she took a long pull of her cigarette with the fuzzy, fuzzy noise that goes with it. She looked away and let it out because this was back in the day when you could still smoke inside, which was not that, you know, overrated to be sure. And I said, is there something within you? I said, okay, so I've been sent to help you. And she said, you've been sent to help me. And he said, well, in a generalized sense, I mean, I specifically sent, he said, well, I think I'm here to help you. I don't know who else I would help. And it's always easier to help someone that you're projecting feelings onto, like I am with you. And then I paused like that because then I got a little, I said, wow, holy cow. And she said, they forget I'm not cassette. And I said, well, I said, I don't think it's that. I think it's the power of music and the power. I said, yeah, I don't know. And then I suddenly, my face must have changed because she said, what's wrong? And I said, I don't know. I'm getting some sort of interference. And she said, what kind? And I said, Carol, the kind that Carol King sends through my curls. I said, we need to get out of here. And she said, why? And I said, well, for some reason the Doobie Brothers song China Groove stuck in my head. I don't even know what that means. But I find I work best in these Carole King related situations when we're moving. And she said, can I hold your hand? And as we walked out of the Playwright and we turned down to Broadway, she took a hold of my hand and she, you know, took a hold of my heart, but in a way that was fair to neither one of us, because she was holding the hand of a man with curls and I was holding the hand of someone that had transformed into cassettes and carried me away. And she said, you look hot. And I said, it feels like might as well be walking on the sun. And that's also what Carole King kind of told me to say. And I said, okay, is this like a Cyrano de Bergerac situation? And I said, maybe it is. Because she had laughed. Like she said, I feel like that too. And I said, are you trying to distract your... I said, are you familiar with... I think the movie was Roxanne when it was... Steve Martin vehicle. And I said, I think I'm supposed to help you. Are you heartbroken? And she said, kind of, but not in the way you think, not romantically heartbroken. And I said, well, maybe I could be your non-romantic, Cyrano de Bergerac. I'm more familiar with Roxanne and Steve Martin, but I could be your non-romantic. And I said, but I guess and this is even weirder, because if I'm in love with cassette, but you're really just an actress, you're not cassette. And it's a lot of layers. And she said, no wonder. And I said, well, tell me more. And she said, well, it's my sister, Guinevere. And I said, okay. She said, I'll give you the long and short of it. And I said, I never understood what that means. So why don't you just give me the short of it, and then I'll make it long by asking a ton of questions. And I knew this was right, because Guinevere by Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young was playing within my curls, at least on a molecular level. And she said, you know, my sister Guinevere was the one who wanted to be on Broadway. And she goes, I did too, but she... I dreamed about it before I was even born. And I said, she's your older sister, huh? She said, yeah. And she was the one who told me about, she taught me about musicals and the love of people like Carole. She said Carole King and Bette Midler. And she said Cats and she went on and on. And I said, what about Forever Plaid? Does your sister like Forever Plaid? And she just looked at me like she was trying to tell if I was joking or serious. And then I said, well, I've seen that face before. And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, it's like the Beatles song. I've seen the face of someone confused by what I said. But I've also seen that face. I said, you feel like you... He said, this is a hard thing about these human relationships, huh? Like, you feel like maybe your sister's jealous of you. I said, but do you really know? And she said, well, we don't get along. And I said, has she ever come to see you perform? And she said, once, and she didn't wait around. And I said, wow, that must be tough on both. She always dreamed about being... on Broadway. And I said, what happened? And she said she couldn't, didn't make it onto Broadway, not even in the chorus, not even in the chorus line. And I said, well, what does she do now? And she says, Carole King was one step ahead. She says, stay up late. And I said, oh boy, like stay up late, like the Talking Head song. And she said, no, well, she says she works at it, and we had been walking for a while as we'd been talking, still holding hands, still confusing for one or two parts of me, because her hands weren't just clasped together. They were interlocked, finger against finger, thumb against the soft, fleshy part of the thumb. I think, at least that's what my memory said, that soft, most vulnerable part of my hand, her thumb was holding it. Then I did a curl slide, which, you know, was a little bit like I pulled my curl, you know, just like a little bit of snapping, you know, snapping me out of it, like a little pull on the old hair. And she said she works at a diner right around here. And I said, in New York City diner. And she said, well, she owns it too. Yeah, but she works, you know, no one wants to work this shift, the night shift. And I said, it's one of those diner. I said, oh yeah, this is when I'm normally at a diner. I said, maybe anytime between. He said, usually I like to hit it like about 4:45 if I'm at a New York City diner, you know, depending on how, you know. But I said, that was my other life in another universe without these curls. And he said, let's go to this diner and let's get to the bottom of the situation right now. This is why I must be here. I said, unless, you know, these breathless feelings I'm feeling are real. But I said, you must have to put up with it. And she said, yeah, I do have to put up with it a lot. And I said, you know, we could get to know each other after all this. And she said, to be honest, I'm not. She goes, you're actually too eccentric for me. And, you know, then there's the whole quick deflation. And I noticed we were on, as we turned on Amsterdam. You know, of course, I thought of the Elvis Costello song, New Amsterdam. And so then I said, okay, Carole King wants me to have a new start. You know, don't get down. But we were still holding hands, so I was still confused at the same time. And she said, yeah, you wouldn't want to get to know me anyway. I'm the kind of sister that lets her sister down. And then the red neon signs of diner lit her face up because we were close. The silver paneling shone across the street. And they said, let's go in there and, you know, let's see how your sister's doing. She said, well, one more thing you should know about my sister's diner. She goes, every night is Christmas Eve in my sister's diner. She goes, I said, a themed diner. And she goes, well, that was when I got the role, Christmas Eve. And then she bought the diner. And she goes, yeah. She goes, it was years later. And I never put it together because I used to come and, come to the diner. But she goes, because she plays like the mistletoe disco band. And I said to Carole King, I said, the mistletoe disco band? Like, and she said, yeah, and she plays music by them. And I said, I love that. I said, those are some of my favorite Christmas carols by the mistletoe disco band. And then I could hear Oblong Sign or whatever playing. And she said, oh, it's Countdown to Christmas in there. And I said, so Christmas Eve, you got cast, or you got the role of Colette Cassette, the role in Les Mis. But that role doesn't come with a roadmap to stardom. Just comes with the burden of being dealing with starstruck buffoons. You know, no one gave you all the answers. No one gave you that role. I'm sure you worked hard and, you know, I'm hoping that you're getting your talent nurtured there. And she said sometimes, and she said, some people will eat you for breakfast. And I said, well, it's time for breakfast, you know, a breakfast meal at a diner. And I said, don't worry. I said, I can slip, you know, these curls allow me to slip into many different roles anyway. So I said, let's go in The sweet disco sounds of the mistletoe disco band were playing. And I said, trail behind me. And I said, did somebody say it's Christmas Eve in here? Because it sounds like it's New Year's Eve. And then a woman, she didn't just step out from behind the counter. She like slid down the counter on her elbow. And she said, it's a countdown to Christmas Eve, she said, it's Christmas Eve countdown. She goes, because it's almost midnight. So she goes, it would be Christmas Day, but we just reset to Christmas Eve again. And I said, sounds delicious. I said, a couple of cups of Joe. And I said, have you ever thought about getting a Christmas disco ball in here? And she said, no. And I said, well, you could get, if you put it close enough to the Christmas lights, you maybe, and then she looked over my shoulder and she saw her sister and she went silent, but her lips didn't go down into a frown. They just went into a straight flat line. And I said, thank goodness. I said, I'm so happy to be here. I said, your sister's been telling me all about this place. And she said, really? And I said, yeah, she knew, your sister knows how much I love Christmas and the mistletoe. I said, what, do you just play the whole mistletoe? And then the track came to an end. It was midnight, it was past midnight. And she said, yeah, but she goes, now I'm going to put on. And I said, the James Brown Christmas album? She said, maybe. And I said, well, Merry Christmas to you. I said, do you have any gingerbread pancakes? And she said, I do. And I said, I'll take an order, like a quarter order of those, because I can't really hand. I said, full order of gingerbread pancakes is lunacy. And I said, have you ever thought about like putting eggnog in the coffee? And she said, sure, one eggnog coffee. And then she went back behind. And I said, what about you? And I realized we were still holding hands. And her sister walked off. And she said, the actress that played Cassette said, the song remains. And I said, the song remains the same. Because she said, then some Christmas song started. I don't know. Because I had to get back to Carole King and the task at hand. And I said, this is one beautiful diner. I said, I'm starstruck in here. And she was working on my gingerbread pancakes, and her sister reluctantly sat down. She pulled an ashtray over, and she had let go of my hand, you know, because it'd be hard to pull an ashtray and light a cigarette. And she lit a cigarette, and she had a look around the diner. And she said, you have mom's decorations up on the tree. And her sister was, you know, flipping my one pan, like one pancake, actually a quarter. It was an order of four, so it was like one and a third. And she was also making something else, and I couldn't catch what it was. But she said, yeah, those are mom's decorations. And Colette sighed. And the sister, Guinevere, she said, well, what brings you around here? And she said, well, like you said, he's obsessed with Christmas too. And she said, I'm not obsessed with Christmas. I'm obsessed with making this diner a fun place to be. And she said, well, it's not fun right now with you. And then they had a silent stare down. And I said, well, wouldn't it be nice, just like the beach? I said, the Beach Boys had a Christmas album. I know it wasn't very nice. I don't know. I don't want to say, but it wouldn't it be nice if just this Christmas Eve, you two, let's shut the diner down. And because I said, there's no customers in it. And I went and locked the door. And I said, wouldn't it be nice if you two just, and she said, well, I make your pancakes you're going to burn. And also I made her some French candy cane, you know, French candy cane, French toast. And so she, and I said, we'll serve it up. I said, well, wouldn't it be nice if we get along this Christmas? And then I said, so this is your mom's decorations on this tree, holds special memories for the two of you, I could tell. And I said, why don't you give me a minute, I've got an idea. And I said, you two could talk or just, you know, cook silently and you smoke silently. And it took all the ornaments off the tree. And there was little Christmas boxes that, it was a giant pain. It took, like, I tried to, like, get the ornaments into wrapped Christmas stuff. And I said, well, that's not going to work. So then I said, oh, there's all those things called stockings. So I was hiding the decorations around the restaurant and even shoving them, you know, in the booth chairs, down the chairs. And I said, I get to use the restroom because I had a sense. I said, can you use my pan? And she said, yeah. And I noticed she had served it at a booth with my eggnog and the candy cane things. And she had cooked herself something. Also candy cane French toast. And I said, I'll be right back. And my gut told me that somewhere nearby the bathroom was going to be a Santa outfit. So of course I found that in the storeroom closet and I put it on. And then as I put it on, Carole King says, Wilco, side with the Saints. And I said, Carole King, you're throwing me off here. And I said, side with the Saints. What does that mean? And I said, okay, don't overdo it. I took it as that. I said, okay, just throw the Saints and they'll grow. And so I said, okay, this is even easier. And I went out and they were kind of sitting at the same booth across from each other. And I came out, I said, oh, you know, but one gimmick I decided to use was that I didn't put on the wig. I put on the beard, but not the wig. So when they saw me, they both looked at each other and burst into laughter, because my curls like dirty blonde brown curls were sticking out. So I looked, went from looking strange to ridiculous. And I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. I said, well, this is a special Christmas. These two, I have been, you know, Santa has a special surprise because I know you two have worked so hard, so many different things, and you've had a couple of hard years here. And I've heard from both of you. I've been watching you both close. And I know that both your hearts are so full of love. But you know, Santa doesn't always tell kids this, but it's complicated being an adult person out here. Complicated being a kid. Not as simple as naughty or nice, is it? But I said, you know, your friend Santa here is to fill this restaurant planet around the restaurant, we'll say. All the decorations for your mother's tree. And I'm going to be back at midnight to make sure that the tree has been redecorated by both of you. And I know that, Santa knows, okay? And Santa's going to give you both a hug here. And I want you both to choose what comfort message you want. You'd say, oh, Santa never told you, but I'm sure you know ways to soothe yourself with your hair. And because Santa's hair is so curly, he uses a lot of different methods. So choose. And the actress that played Cassette, she chose to flick it with her, like a little flick of, and again, my heart skipped, but it wasn't her, you know. And then she kissed me on the cheek. And I said, well, I'm never going to get over that. Like, I'm going to be heartbroken. And I said, Santa's heart is breaking. Oh. And then Guinevere, she chose actually the old, she wound a curl up in her finger and then tugged it and then sprung it. And I said, well, tomorrow's Christmas, so get that tree ready for Santa. And, you know, take time to remember. And, you'll do great, you two. And I said, Guinevere, maybe you and Santa could, go to a show sometime. But you don't have to decide tonight. And they both looked at me and they said, who are you? And, you know, Carole King was there. She did two who songs in one night. And I said, who am I is right. They said, if Santa doesn't return, you know, every time you think of the turn of a curl, think of it wrapping around your hearts and comforting you. And then think, well, geez, what can I do to say, hey, I need a little comfort. I'm dealing with starstruck dudes all the time. And, you know, I've got a diner and I also have some dashed dreams. We all do. And then just give a little, your version of a curl bump. Okay. Now get around and look around that restaurant and get that tree decorated. And you'll find your ways. All right. And I set off into New York night. The diner at my back. My heart left behind. But a projected version. So I guess like the whatever they call that. Infatuation-esque. So not real. And I trotted off into the night. Just me and my perm. All right. Good night. I want to say thanks and good night to all the people that support the show. Rhonda B. Thanks and good night. Madison R. Thanks and good night, Jack M. Thanks and good night, Taylor. And thank you, Misty M. Thank you and good night, Jody W. Thanks and good night. Thanks and good night to Michelle S. Thanks and good night to Rhonda C. Thank you and good night to Karen P. Thank you and good night to Karen N. Two separate Karens. Thank you both. Thanks and good night to Joey C. Thank you and good night to Mike W. Thank you and good night to Amber J. Thank you and good night to Jonas E. Thank you and good night to Jillian S. Thank you and good night to Rachel K. Thank you and good night to Lindsay N. Thank you and good night to Cindy L. Thanks and good night to Catherine M. Thank you and good night to Jennifer R. Thank you and good night to Brenda W. Thank you and good night to Good Run. Good Run. Thanks and good night to Ephraim. Thanks and good night to Antoinette. Thanks and good night to Kathy K. Thank you and good night to Laura B. Thank you and good night to Carl B. Thank you and good night to Mark M. Good night and thank you to Doran J. Thank you and good night to Judith R. Dana C. Thanks and good night. Thank you and good night to Shelley V. Thank you and good night to Melly M. Dylan, thank you and good night. Lisa G, good night and thank you. Dawn H, thank you and good night. Lena, thank you and good night. Pamela J to the K, thank you and good night. Gerald M, thank you and good night. Good night and thank you to Robin V. Good night, thank you. Good night, Eduardo P. Saying thanks and good night to Nate, to the O, to the N. Thank you and good night to Jennifer S, Natasha. Thank you and good night. And Terry F, thank you and good night. Over on PayPal, I want to say thanks and good night to Pat W. Thank you and good night to Derek W. Thank you and good night to Jared S. Wendy F, thank you and good night. Deborah B, thank you and good night. Good night and thank you to Jennifer R. Gregory H, thank you and good night. Miranda R, good night and thank you. Anna L, thanks and good night. Catherine U, thank you and good night. Jermaine W, thank you and good night. Rebecca M, good night and thank you. Tessa B, good, thanks and good night. Jamie L, good night and thank you. And Sharon D, thanks and good night. And then, of course, so, you know, the king of Venmo, Bill K, got to thank Bill K. Thank you and good night. And Tom D to the A, thank you and good night. And Nora C, thank you and good night. Thanks and good night, everybody. I'll talk to you later.
All right, everybody, Scoots here. I'm doing our month in review on Sleep With Me Plus, which is similar, if you're still listening on Patreon, if you could think about moving over, but it's going to be similar to what you would have seen there this month. And as far as the ad-free episodes, a lot of them are coming out in the ad-supported feed that you all listen to as well. I gotta find the right podcast app. So I was also buying time because on Sleep With Me Plus, one of the main differences is everything is separated out into its own feeds. So there's four different podcasts. I'm going to start with the bonus episode podcast. So it just has bonus shows. And on March 2nd, a mayor tour, Welcome to Scooterville, a Postie special edition super deluxe episode came out. These are really cool. They come out on a couple Saturdays a month. And these are something that's just really important, been really important to me. Ideally down the road, we'll have budget to do more or somebody else even do a version 2. But it's basically Chris Posty Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful. It takes an episode of Sleep With Me and reimagines it in a sense, which that's pretty much it. Like, that's all the instructions for Chris. Hey, take an episode, reimagine it. But this year, Chris has been doing this for years. So in the bonus feed, it's years and years and years of this. As a matter of fact, in the bonus feed I'm looking at, there's 377 episodes. I think that's in the Borbesties feed. But so right now in 2020. Four, is that what year it is? Chris is doing this Scooterville series. So definitely worth checking out if you're like, love Sleep With Me, you're looking for something like a little bit different with some sound design, you want to listen to it during the day, or a lot of people, when they start to support the show and they discover these, this is what they sleep to because everybody's a little bit different. What else we got in this feed? Audio news, Scooterville, oh, Contact, TNG Contact Part 2 came out since I think we last recorded this. And then a Fearless Flyer episode is about to come out. I think maybe this week, the February Fearless Flyer episode. Okay, then Boar Besties and Boar Friends also get a feed with all intro and all night shows. So Thursday night, an all intro episode came out. Weird, the all night episode. I might have archived it. But Big Farm in the Sky, PI. Huh, I guess there's an all-night episode that's going to come out or should be in this feed that is, so doesn't seem to be there. So this is good. I'm checking this. This is live quality control. Maybe it's in another feed. I put it in the wrong feed. But yeah, not sure which one it is either. So I'll have to look into that. So that's interesting. Okay, then you get a feed with ad-free full episodes. And so they don't have any, they don't have the supporter zone, they don't have the sponsor stuff, they don't have the Mystery Bard music or the thank yous at the end, but they are something that, because you can listen to that in the ad-supported version, right? But so let's see, episode 1245 came out Sunday, that was Great British Bake Off episode 8, Multiplex episode 3 came out, Hickory Dickory Farms, Ren Fair with Ray came out March 3rd, 1243, 1242, Bake Off episode 7 came out, February 25th, Multiplex episode 2 came out, Julius J. Juice, what else we got, 1240, Apple Cider Redo, that was Trader Joe's a Shop and Cook episode, big retraction in that one, you know, retracted my opinion on apple cider donuts from Trader Joe's. So, yeah, and then the audio news. And then in story only, we had, C12, the same thing. Everything comes out on Sleep With Me Plus. This is so cool. There's something we only have been able to do since we moved to a new platform, is we're able to put out the story only episodes and the full episodes on the same day because they're in separate podcasts. We couldn't do that on the old platform because everything would just been too clogged up and it would just been too confusing for a large number of people. So now, yeah, story only, there's like a lot of story only fans and yeah, they got the same thing. Great British Bake Off 8, Multiplex 3, Ren Fair with Ray, Great British 7, Multiplex 2, Trader Joe's Shop and Cook, Apple Cider, then Dessert Week, Great British Bake Off, whatever, episode 6, Multiplex 1, Wandering Towers, Board Game Unboxing. So yeah, that's everything that came out this week. I don't have my calendar in front of me. I've been working really hard at the planning calendar, and we got some exciting stuff coming up to sleep to. That's so exciting, you don't need to listen to it. What do we have? Multiplex 7 I recorded yesterday. Started writing Multiplex 8 today. These are a couple months away, but the Guild, the web series of the Guild, we did a part of season 1 of that, and we're definitely going to do season 1 of that and probably season 2, maybe go on, I don't know, maybe do season 1 and season 2 and take a break. Those will be coming out late spring, early summer. I came up with two new ideas for random Tuesday episodes, one with pillow, like other plush friends, a pillow pet, and then another one that will be called the Marble Vagabond. And those are episode ideas that came out of intros. Neither of those has been recorded, though. Those intros were recorded. The Marble Vagabond intro will be in part two of our coverage of the movie Bring It On. What else have we recorded? I guess in the last month, we did an episode called Willy Wonka Interactive Experience, Immersive Adventure, which I was really happy with. And that's going to be a new genre of Sleep With Me style show of like poorly run immersive experiences. Like the one like that kind of what got a lot of press, and we got to work on the audio for something very similar, but it was called the Willy Wonka experience. Also not a very high budget experience, but at least it had audio from Scoots or a narrator like Scoots. So that'll come out late spring, early summer. And then our crossover series, we got three episodes done, episode 2, 3, and 4 from season 1. So that'll be coming out this spring too and summer. So yeah, that's everything right now. And thanks so much. If you're listening, it's a free feed. It'd be great. If you think about supporting the show at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. This enables us to do everything we do. And those of you that support the sponsors, we also really count on those of you that just spread the word about the show. So thank you for doing that. And that's it. Good night, everybody.